You know, there are many mothers in the Bible. This morning, we preached on another subject, basically dealing with good ideas. And tonight, we're going to see what sounded like a good idea kind of went bad. And in Genesis 21, there's a verse. And God says it to Hagar. And the title of my message tonight is Hagar is what aileth thee, Hagar. And we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 21, verses 14 through 20. We'll get more back into the setting here in a minute, but we'll start with verse 14. And Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, put it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Remember, God hears kids' cries. Their angels always face God. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Who we see tonight is we see Hagar, the mother of the Arab nations. It's well known that Abraham is the father of Israel. But in the Muslim belief, Abraham is a significant prophet. He's also the father of the Arab nations also. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 11 through 12, and it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, this is Hagar, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Sarah is the mother of Israel, but Hagar is the mother of the Arab nations. And we know what happened here, and we will review that. And that's what causes conflict in the Middle East today. It was the root cause of all this. So we see the birth of Ishmael. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says this, that Hagar bare Abraham, a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bared, Ishmael. Now, let's talk about the birth of Ishmael a little bit. God had a plan. His plan was to make of Abraham the father of many nations. His plan was to do that through Sarah. His plan was to do that from the institution of marriage. His plan was for them to have faith to do that. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. Because Abraham was childless, along with Sarah. And they had this Eleazar, and he was a Syrian. And he was the only male in the family. And he was right now, according to custom, going to be the heir. And it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. God knows your predicament. God knows the problem. God knows what you want. And say, this shall not be thine heir, this Eleazar of the Syrian. But he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Now I'll tell you something that's been interesting. You look up in the stars at night, they're big and bright deep in the heart of Texas. Now, they put a space telescope out between the Earth and the Moon, and now they're finding out more things they've ever seen before. Think about that. God's there too.
Amen.
And God gives this promise to Abraham, more than the stars that you can see. I'm going to make of you a great nation. He says, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou shalt be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted to him for righteousness. God did a good thing for him. He was in a good place. It was time to have a what? A good idea. It was time to have your mind focused on God. But you know something? Other people come up with good ideas. And it might sound good at the time, but it's terrible. So here's the plan. They wait for years, 10 years, and nothing's happening. And nothing's happening. You know, sometimes we pray to God and we want an instant answer and nothing happens. And we get frustrated and our faith falters because we want it our way. It may not be the right time. It may not be the right circumstances. 2 weeks ago, we preached on patience, and everybody needs patience. So here we have Sarah and Abraham. They heard God's promise. They needed faith to believe it and to endure to the end, which is patience, because patience is endurance over time. But after a period of time, they said, nah, I have a better idea. So in Genesis 16, verses 1 through 3, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Look at verse 2. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, who's to blame? God is. You know, we blame God when things don't go our way.
Right.
Instead of looking at ourselves and say, God, show us the way. And so, when is a good idea not a good idea? When it's not in accordance with God's will and it's not in accordance with God's way, God's word. God told Abraham and Sarah was going to have a child. But Sarah said to Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. What?
Yeah.
That's not the way to do it.
Come on.
It's not the way to do it. That's the way the world does it.
Come on.
And Abram's hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Sounds good to me. Where's the consulting of God? Where is following the truth? Where is the faith? Verse 3, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Now, one wife's enough for me. Two? That's even worse. And so, love you, dear. Okay? So, Sarah came up with a plan that really wasn't, it wasn't in God's will and it wasn't in God's word. And folks, when you do things out of God's plan, bad things are going to result. You can't get good stuff out of a bad decision. So, we know what happened. Ishmael gets born first. Years later, Sarah conceives. And Isaac is born, and now we have dissension in the family. In Genesis chapter 21, verses 19 through 13, and now we get back to our text. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. When Isaac was weaned, there was a feast. And at this feast, there was this problem. It says, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman. You know something? Two wrongs don't make a right. Who caused the problem in the first place? It wasn't God. It was Sarah. It was Sarah. And her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was what? Very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham goes to God and says, oh, that Ishmael would walk before you. So Abraham was sold out to this whole thing. And that was not God's way. Folks, stay the course.
Right.
Keep the faith. Follow God's will. Follow God's word. Then it won't become grievous. It won't become problematic. There won't be conflict because you're doing it the right way.
Amen.
So now, we have this problem continuing. Verse 12, and God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said to thee, hearken unto thee, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now he promised that there'd be a great nation come out of Ishmael. So God already knew what was going to happen. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. So now we have where we are. So God sends an angel. And God asks three questions of Hagar. The first one is God's question when a mother was grieving for her child. What's the question? What aileth thee, Hagar? See, Hagar thought her child would die. Abraham was just told that Ishmael would be a great nation. There's faith required here. And so, but that wasn't necessarily transmitted to Hagar. So Abraham gives her a bottle of water and some bread and said, get out of here. Go where? They're in the middle of nowhere. And so Hagar thought her child would die. And mothers have shed many tears over their children. It says here that she wept. In verse 16 it says, and she sat over against him, away from him, after she put him under the bush, and lift up her voice and wept. You know, this is Mother's Day. And mothers, I'm sure that you have wept in times when your kids are sick and they're struggling. In times when your kid might go wayward and not do the right thing. In times when it was perceived that they were in grave danger. Dads should have wept too. We need to weep over our kids because we love them. We need to weep over our kids and bring them to God to have Him intervene. And so Hagar thought that her child would die. The water is gone. The bread is gone. They're nowhere to get help in sight. And she's crying because at that point in time, that's all she could do. That's all she could do. You know, mothers have coped through the hard times. They've hidden their tears when harsh words were spoken. Prayed through their tears when they were wounded and broken. Waited long years for their children that might feel neglected. And then cried to God when their children rejects him. Maybe you know somebody like that tonight. I know there's people in here that are dealing with these problems right now. Don't give up hope. God is sovereign. God is more powerful than all these problems.
Amen.
And we keep on praying to Him and asking Him and follow Him, and God will deliver. And God will deliver. So God's question, what ails you, Hagar? What's ailing you, Hagar? Hagar thought the child would die. She's shedding tears just like mothers have over their children. She's trying to deal with the hard time. Time with Abraham and Sarah wasn't the best of times either. There was conflict there. But you know something? No one ever cared for me but Jesus. We need to understand that God cared about Hagar's tears. There's never a tear wasted crying out to God. You know, the psalmist says, oh, that my tears were what? Put in a bottle that you may see them. And so, he basically calls on Hagar to unburden her heart. He says, tell me what's going on in your life. And you know, God is right here, right now.
Amen.
And there's a lot of people that may be hurting tonight. Maybe on the internet watching tonight. And what God wants you to do is realize that there's an issue here. And realize that that's hurting you. And realize that God wants to help. And he asks Hagar, he says, what aileth thee? What aileth thee, Hagar? He's asking you tonight, what's ailing you tonight? He called on Hagar to unburden her heart. This question also was to a mother who had been wronged by others. And this is a sad, sad thing. Because we know that not everybody does the right thing all the time. She'd been wronged by man. She'd been wronged by man. She just did what her mistress told her to do. And they thought it was a what? A good idea. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? There's a lot of people that say the right thing, but in their heart, they're not right with God. And she had been wronged by Abraham. This should have never happened. But it was for a bad idea. And now there's people that pay consequences. Folks, how many people have paid consequences for some bad decisions that we've made? And folks, not even happened to our kids. And we have to deal with that. And she's crying to God. She's asking, what's going to happen here? She had been wronged by man. Romans chapter 3, verses 11 through 12 says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not what? One. So Hagar, in addition to see her child suffering under the bush, is basically having to deal with the past of all the things that got her there. And she was wronged by man. Here's the sad part about it. She was wronged by a man of faith. Abraham should have known better. Sarah should have known better. You know something? We should have known better. David should have known better. Saul should have known better. The Bible is replete with people that should have known better and done the wrong thing. Think of this. Abraham was a friend of God. She must have seen him praying. She had witnessed his courage and faith to go out into an area that they'd never been to before. She had known him in his greatest weakness, the issue that's going on right now. Sarah had taken part in the wrong. And folks, I want to tell you right now, what happened that caused Ishmael to come into the world was a wrong thing. And Sarah was complicit with it. You know, we are not always what we should be. And so tonight, as we reflect on this, have we made wrong decisions? Have we done wrong things? And we just kind of repressed it and put it back. We need to get that right tonight. We need to get that right tonight. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says this: if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We might be justified in the sight of God, but we still have the capacity to sin. We still have the capacity to make wrong decisions. And dads, don't make a wrong decision concerning your wife. Parents, don't make a wrong decision concerning your family and your kids. Follow God. Follow God. So, Hagar has really been the victim here. And now she is suffering the consequences of all this because they can't be together. These two nations can't be together. They can't because it's not God's plan. And so, what ails you, Hagar? Well, she's been wrong. What ails you, Hagar? My son's under the bush, dying of thirst. We have no food. We have no options here. So God asked the question. Question a third way is to a mother who was to learn of his faithfulness. See, when God speaks to us, we need to listen. When God asks a question, we need to answer. She has started this journey with bread and water. I think it's sad about the paucity, the lack of sustenance that they were given when Abraham sent her away. Now, maybe Abraham knew something that we didn't know, but I'm not so sure. I think Abraham just wanted to get rid of the problem. And folks, to get rid of the problem takes some time. It takes some effort. It takes resources. So now she goes out. She starts this journey with bread and water. And now the bread was eaten up. And her water was all used up. And so she cries. And she weeps. And what is the answer to the question? Go back to our text tonight. What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. I see what's going on here. I know how you got here. I know what your problem is. I know what you need. For God hath heard the what? The voice of the land. And God's promise to Abraham extended down to Ishmael. Extended down to his seed. God made no priority on this. He said, to your seed. He's going to make of him a great nation. You know, we need to note what God did not say. You know, Peter and John, James and John one day was coming out of a city and they weren't well received. And they asked Jesus, God, can we command fire to come down and consume them all? See, that's what we ask for when we're wrong. We ask to get what? Even. That's what we ask for when we get disparaged. We ask for restitution. What we really need to do is ask for God. And look at what happens here. Note what God did not advise her to do. Didn't tell her to grieve over her problem. And he didn't tell her to hold grudges and nurse her wounds. He said, fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. How? Where he is. God meets you where you are. In the mess that you're in. Or the victory that you're in. He meets you where you are. Arise. Lift up the lad. And hold him in thy hand. For I will make him a great nation. What a promise. But sometimes we just can't get beyond our problem and see what God is saying. Well, what about the water? We still don't have any bread. I can't live on words. I can't drink words. We can't solve this thing by words. And a lot of people go down that path. And they turn their back and they keep on trying to solve it their way. Isaiah 46 verse 4 says this, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you, even if you color them. He knows what's gray. He knows. I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and what? Will what? Deliver you. So this verse, lift up the lad, hold him. I'm going to make a great nation. I'm speaking to you, Hagar. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Sometimes we hear, but we don't see. So what did he have to do? Verse 18 was hold him. Verse 19, and God what? Opened her eyes. God's asking you a problem. Hey, you're in a problem? Got a problem? What's ailing you tonight? I know what the problem is. Do you know what the problem is? Have you been wronged? Are you upset? Are you perplexed? Are you distressed? I got you. I got you. He opened her eyes and she saw what? A well of water. Out in the middle of nowhere. Obviously, she wasn't there when Abraham dug it, or whoever dug it. But there was a well of water. You know, it can happen to any of us. There was water within reach. Okay? There was water within reach. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 through 33, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these what? Things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Centuries later, the nation of Israel has been brought across the Red Sea. They're out in the middle of nowhere. They're no what? Water. They find this pool of water. And they go up and they try to drink it, and it's bitter. and they call it Mara. And they come and they go, Moses, Moses, why did you bring us out here? Why did you bring us out here to die of thirst? And right next to the pool was a what? A tree. And they put the tree in the water and they made the water drinkable. Another time at Meribah, they go out. There's no water. Now there's no pool. What are we going to do? Strike the rock. Water comes out. See, God knows what you need. And for Hagar, the water was well within reach. Last 3 weeks ago, we talked about the woman at the well. And she goes to the well to get water. And she meets Jesus. And Jesus says, I have some water that you'll never thirst again. And it's right within reach today. And she comes to understand that he's the Messiah. And she follows him, and then the whole city follows him. See, we need to understand that God has provided for all of our needs. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by who? Christ Jesus. That solved the water problem. What about the food problem? Look at verse 20. And God was what? With the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and got really good with a bow and arrow. And that's how they ate. See, God gives you what you need. God gives you the skills you need in order to endure through the problem you have. So, what did Hagar do when she sees the well? Oh, there's a well. What did she do? It says she filled up the bottle and gave water to Ishmael to drink. The most important water that God gives is the water of eternal life.
Amen.
And so tonight, you know something? Your problems pale in comparison to eternity. And eternity in hell. Paul says, I reckon that these present sufferings can't be compared to the glory that will happen in heaven. Christ told the woman at the well, he says, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. God had a promise. He made the promise to Abraham, and that went down through Hagar to Ishmael. It wasn't God's perfect plan, but God will never come back on a promise. And God knows, even if you mess up, God's there. He wants to help. He wants to get you through this. He wants to provide what he alone can provide in order for you to get through it. You can't solve it yourself. She couldn't create water. She couldn't create bread. She was at her wit's end, but God came through for her. God can come through for you. And so tonight, what will you do with a blessing of eternal life that's provided to us tonight? God is the living water. He's a well that never runs dry. And so tonight, what's ailing you? What's ailing you? Bring them to Jesus. Bring those problems to Jesus tonight. He'll open your eyes. He'll hear your cry. He sees through the tears. And he'll give you a solution if you do it by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you with this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts. If there's someone that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight that they would realize what you did on Calvary was for them. And they would ask for forgiveness of sins, realizing that you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again the third day. And ask for the gift of eternal life and make you Lord of your life. Lord, I pray for us, Lord, that whatever is ailing us, Lord, we may be out in the desert of despair right now. But Father, You're there. And You see it. And You ask us, what's ailing us? Father, help us to cast our burdens at Your feet. Help us, Lord, to trust in You. Help us, Lord, to get through the things that we've done wrong. And Father, that You undo the wrong. And Father, help us leave this place, Lord, forgiven. Lord, provide and protect. Be with this time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.